Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right. There's that spirit of 1776, Richard. We're seeing it among the Patriots. It's growing. Yes. I mean, when President Trump can raise 100,000 people in New Jersey, you know something's happening out there, and it's all about taking America back again. They got to turn to the Lord first of all. They got to start there with prayer, huh? Ivan Rakin, this is a fellow who's I'll let him tell you what he's all about. So start that in about two minutes, and we'll be back right after this. Listen carefully, folks. This is we're seeing people standing the ground.
Okay. So my Raekwon account is still being censored by the FBI's Brian Auten, Laura Demlow, Joe Pienka, and Elvis Chan.
So you started a new account.
No, that still exists because it was reinstated. Those are the individuals that are at the FBI that run the censorship industrial complex on behalf of this illegitimate regime. Do you know those names?
No.
I can provide you much detail on them. They were the ones also involved in the original illegal Crossfire Hurricane spying operation on General Flynn, Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, and Paul Manafort. I have receipts on every single individual. That's why they haven't really come after me yet, because if they bring me in, the entire regime comes crumbling down. Whoa. Okay? So they are scared of me, not the other way around.
That makes more sense. You, on your Twitter bio, I noticed today it said Secretary of Retribution.
Yep. That means that I will guarantee consequences for a list of at least 350 individuals that are on my deep state target list.
Okay.
And when you read that deep state target list, remember, I'm an attorney and a retired Green Beret. Okay?
That I know. Well, Nate, that I might be interested in talking with you more about is your deep state target list.
Elon Musk has it. Michael Schellenberger has it. Matt Taibbi has it.
Mm-hmm.
The Judiciary Committee has it. The Weaponization Committee has it. The Oversight Subcommittee that is part of the House Administration Committee has it.
Mm-hmm.
The House Freedom Caucus has it. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, likely has it. And it's just a matter of time for a joint press conference to take place between Speaker Johnson and Elon Musk to go ahead and disclose and release the Twitter direct messages of those individuals on my deep state target list, proving the seditious conspiracy going back to 2016, the illegal spying operation on the Trump campaign. You're also going to find the involvement of Mike Pence and his chief of staff, Joshua Pidcock, in that conspiracy, along with Josh Pidcock's wife, Catherine Seaman, who was the senior Russia analyst for Peter Strzok, who was one of the two individuals that was deployed by Jim Comey and Andrew McCabe to get General Flynn to lie or to get him fired, as per Bill Priestap's notes, which was the deputy assistant director of counterintelligence at the FBI.
That's a long list.
I can go in much more detail, but that's generally the crux of it.
Do you get to meet with Jim Jordan and talk about this stuff?
I meet with everybody.
All these guys?
Every single member that you think I talk to or may talk to, I talk to them.
Mm-hmm. And what do you guys talk about? Like, what's the reason that you talk to them?
Everything that I put out publicly,
yeah.
I also provide that to them.
Uh-huh. And I guess
I don't
I mean
do anything
is
behind closed doors.
Everything is transparent. What are you hoping to get out of talking to them? Like, why do you do it?
I want to guarantee Elon Musk discloses the direct messages for the mother of all Twitter files so that the entire country can see what just occurred to them, from starting from the illegal spying operation, the corrupt DOJ and FBI. The raid on Mar-a-Lago was to seize the evidence that was declassified by Donald Trump in the last few hours of his first term, which involved the Crossfire Hurricane details, which would list all the names that I've mentioned so far.
Okay.
Whether it was Lisa Page, who was Andy McCabe's chief counsel at the time, along with Peter Strzok, a guy by the name of Joseph Pienka III, who is currently the number three individual at the San Francisco field office. So you have a chief, you have the special agent in charge, you have a ASAC, assistant special agents in charge, and then you have the ASAC for counterintelligence.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is a guy by the name of Joseph Pianka III, who was the second agent that was deployed to interview General Flynn on January 24th, 2017, in order to get General Flynn fired or to get him to lie.
Right.
That was an entrapment. And that's the same agent that was deployed in August of 2016 to the Trump campaign to do what they call a counterintelligence briefing, a defensive one,
mm-hmm.
but with the secondary purpose in order to, and this was him, Pianka, along with Trump, Chris Christie. You know that Chris Christie's attorney during his Bridgegate scandal was Christopher Wray?
I didn't know that.
Well, now you know. And then the third person in that meeting was a guy by the name of General Flynn. Joe Pianka was deployed by the Crossfire Hurricane leadership, authorized by the general counsel at the time, Jim Baker, who then later became the Twitter 1.0 number two lawyer, to coordinate the censorship industrial complex to cover up and censor and suspend those individuals that exposed their corruption. Okay? And it just keeps mounting and mounting and mounting, the cover-ups. This is just yet they're trying to take out Trump now because they were able to take out their first existential threat, which was General Flynn, because he would have been the first one to go ahead and expose this level of corruption,
mm-hmm.
because he knows the system. Now that Trump knows the system after being 4 years in it, he is now an existential threat to that very DOJ, the national security apparatus. Remember, 39 individuals unmasked General Flynn. Okay. One of them was Jamie Raskin's wife, Sarah Raskin. Totally unlawful, unmasking. Look that up.
Okay.
The 51 individuals that said the Biden laptop had all the earmarks of a Russian information campaign,
mm-hmm.
were your colleagues over at Politico published that on their website.
Mm-hmm.
One of those 51 individuals is John Brennan. Another one is a guy by the name of David Buckley. David Buckley ended mm-hmm. up becoming the staff director for Liz Cheney's and Benny Thompson and Nancy Pelosi's January 6th cover-up committee.
So it's a pretty small world, it sounds like.
So David Buckley was tasked to create a list and do his deep state target list
mm-hmm.
of political targets. So now it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
I have a deep state target list, and I'm coming for all of them. And what does that mean when I say coming for all of them? It means the most legal, moral, and ethical consequences to the maximum, to include the maximum punishment for treason, I personally guarantee that they're going to face those consequences. And you can take a look at that list.
Like, are you going to sue them? Is that what you would do?
Just wait for it.
Okay.
You will see it. It will be so visible
mm-hmm.
for the entire world to see and hear. I'll give you some examples.
Okay.
I'm going to incorporate the precedence that's already been set. So we're going to incorporate what was done to General Flynn. We're going to incorporate what was done to Steve Bannon, what was done to Peter Navarro, what was done to Mike Lindell, what was done to Scott Perry. Translation, expect to see live streamed swatting raids of every single individual on that deep state target list because the precedence has already been set. Remember when Mike Lindell in the Hardee's parking lot, the FBI went and conducted armed robbery of him in Minnesota? Remember when Peter Navarro was swatted in an airport? Remember when Steve Bannon, on multiple occasions within the U.S. Capitol Police jurisdictional zone, conducted swattings and allowed for swattings to take place of Steve Bannon and his residence? Remember the armed robbery and burglary of Roger Stone that was live streamed by your colleagues over at Criminal News Network?
Yeah.
That we're going to take in the collective and do that, okay?
Okay.
It does not matter what happens in the election. It does not matter who wins the election. This is going to take place at the hands of the American people, with or without an election, and with or without whoever wins the election. I guarantee you that that will take place at the county and state level, because right now the federal government is not in a position because of its capture and its corruption. So imagine this. When you take a look at the direct messages
mm-hmm.
and the geotagged location data of the 350-plus members on that deep state target list, and then you curate that, Elon Musk, and then do geotagging of the communications. And then you present those communications to name the county of the 3,143 county and county equivalents in our nation,
mm-hmm.
the 50 states and the 6 federal districts, right?
Okay.
And then you identify where a treasonous communication took place. And then you present that to the local DA, similar to good old Alvin Bragg. That then will create the nexus to showcase this criminal, conspiratorial, seditious conspiracy and treason charge. And that local DA, the local sheriff, will then be deputizing folks like Ivan Raiklin and those of us that were thrown out of the military mm-hmm. because we did not comply with the illegal DNA mutilation injection, the forced DNA mutilation injection.
Do you mean the COVID vaccine?
I'm talking about the CCP-19 lab incident money-making scheme by Pfizer, the Pfizer fail, the Moderna mutilation, or whether it was just the myocarditis making heart exploding J&J jab. So those of us that were either thrown out or left because we would not participate in the DNA mutilation of our own physiological beings, there's 80,000 of us that are ready, willing, and able in order to be deputized by appropriate sheriffs throughout the country to be participants as lawful deputies to conduct the live stream swatting raids of every single person that we can identify that conducted the necessary unlawful activity by county on my deep state target list.
Two questions. Where did you get the 80,000 number? My first question.
Yeah. So, 8,600, about 8,500 approximately, were thrown out of the military.
Okay.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't do the vaccine.
Because it wasn't a vaccine. The name of vaccine, the definition changed before the rollout, and it was never approved by the FDA. There was never a product that was approved by the FDA to then be able to coerce and manipulate into other people's bodies.
Okay.
Don't believe me? Look at the footnote on FDA's own quote-unquote approval of Pfizer's Comirnaty. Legally distinct, and the product was never created. The Pfizer BioNTech was created, but that one was never approved. That was only under emergency use authorization.
Right.
So I need to correct you on that one. You need to do some more studying, ma'am, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Next, 80,000,
mm-hmm.
okay? As far as the 80,000 goes, that's the minimum that I see of folks that left the military early through retirement, ended their careers early, because of the illegal mandate that was promulgated by and enforced by the entire chain of command. Those are also going to be many of the members on the deep state target list are those military leaders, quote unquote leaders, I call them failures, within the Department of Defense and at the Pentagon that will face similar consequences for forcing and coercing unlawfully the mutilation of another person's body and thus minimizing and destroying our personal readiness within the DOD.
So this is all post-2020 people you're talking about?
Come on. Are you going to ask that question in that level of ignorance? 2016, Crossfire Hurricane?
No.
Hello?
I'm saying the 80,000 that you referenced.
I mean, at this point, you're wasting my time if you don't even have that level of context. Take a couple hundred hours to research the subject. Follow my work on Rumble. Once you see that, I want you to identify one thing that I have incorrect, and then you can start coming after me with questions to scrutinize it, because you have not done the necessary requisite research to for me to even give you my time. So I think that's about it.
Can I ask one last question? You don't have to.
It better be intelligent.
Well, I don't guess that'll be in the eye of the beholder. You don't think, you were saying it doesn't matter what happens in the election. So you don't think you need sort of the protection of Trump's Justice Department to do some of what you're talking about?
No, because we're going after the Justice Department.
But like,
they are the enemy. That's what you fail to understand. The individuals that I mentioned are the enemy of our constitutional order. We're coming for them maximally. And how we're coming for them is because we are engaging with counties and states in order to crush them.
Mm-hmm. With vis-a-vis, like, via the sheriffs, basically.
What do you think Alvin Bragg's doing right now? Is that a federal officer?
No.
Exactly my point. Look at the counties in this country that are red versus blue.
Mm-hmm.
It is overwhelmingly red. So Alvin Bragg and the Dems are setting our precedent as we go on offense.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ivan.
It's going to be a doozy. And I love it when it gets spicy. And there are, again,
I believe you.
Out of the 80,000 of us,
mm-hmm.
we are clamoring to be deputized by sheriffs nationwide in order to conduct the necessary live stream raids, if they want to push us to that.
So if I did want to follow up with you, and you
and I'll say lastly,
yeah,
there are over 1 million service members. I'm going to say this. You said Secretary of Retribution. The Secretary of Retribution consists of three divisions. Number one, the research arm. And should there be a mechanism where we create it, it's going to be the first division. Is again, everything I'm telling you, I've already said it publicly. And I have many podcasts where I've said this.
Yeah.
So number one, we're going to have a research arm to continue to develop our targets. Okay.
Okay.
Number two, and that's going to be staffed by January 6th defendants, family members, as well as their lawyers, since they have already kind of conducted some of that research.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already kind of interned, if you will, over the last 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Number two will be the second division, which will include the action arm, the 80,000 of us that have decades of conducting this type of activity of actioning targets overseas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the third arm is going to consist of those that will live stream, right? Independent media, obviously not your organization, won't be included in that.
But
they will ride along. They will ride along and live stream the swattings and raids of the second division that I just mentioned that are properly and appropriately deputized to conduct those raids. And then the first arm is obviously going to be the ones that create those lists. We're just using the playbook and the precedent that has already been developed to target those that conducted lawful First Amendment activity on January 6th and everything downstream from them.
So if you say you don't need, you're not waiting for Trump's election, like when are you planning to do it?
Stand by.
Okay.
Just keep an eye on things.
Okay. So how could I follow up?
So you can follow everything I do online. Everything's public.
But like, I advocate
for the most. These people are going to experience the most peaceful and patriotic, lawful, moral, and ethical experience of their life.
Alrighty, we're back. We're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673 and take some calls, because after all that, people have to have a lot of opinions, right?
Yeah,
so, I don't know, Richard, do you think, now, he's right about the counties, you know, you have all these counties, and we're seeing more and more states are suing, you know, the Democrats. So, do you think the people are going to finally rise up? Because the federal government basically has declared war on America. They declared war on us. Okay,
they really have. Yeah, and it sounds like a good plan to do it by county and by state rather than having the federal government involved at all, because that's where the problem exists.
Right. And so and we have to get now, I think it does matter a lot. He says it doesn't matter whether who gets elected, whether there's even election. I think it matters a lot because if Trump gets back in, he can use the military, because the federal government, all those agencies, Obama has worked on it. Remember, for 8 years, every day we told you, do you see what he's doing now? Do you see what he is doing? Do you see who he's appointing? When he were purging the generals, we were telling people, folks, do you see what he's doing? Okay. And so now he has managed to turn the federal government, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, all against us. And remember what Chuckie Schumer said, Boy, when you take on the intelligence agencies, they got 6 ways from Sunday of getting you. You know, in other words, he was saying, look, they're corrupt. They're like us, the Democrats. They're corrupt. They were, and he was right on that. So, anyhow, we got to make an announcement, too. This Sunday, Doers of the Word Baptist Church will only have a morning service. We're not going, we'll have the Bible studies in the morning, but we won't have an evening service or an evening class because it's Memorial Day, right?
Yes.
Let's go out to Cleveland and take Steve. Steve, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. That clip right there, I looked Mr. Raquin up real quick, and oh my goodness, I don't know where this guy came from, but I don't know if you can get him on your show yourself, but 2 minutes with him would be like, you know, between you and Pastor Joe, beyond an education.
Well, we've actually got somebody looking into doing that right now and contacting him. So
you don't need nobody to tell you nothing. Just keep everybody in suspense.
Yeah.
And you're very good at it. 50 years, I don't know how you did it. So another 20 years or still, you know. Anyways, my question would be, how can you translate that so everybody can understand that pretty simple? Like, there's, what, 3,250 counties or something like that. So I think there's like, what, 2,400?
There's 3,300 counties in the United States.
Just 27 or 2,800 or something like that, guessing, is red?
No, they're just, yeah, the vast majority of them are red, yeah. And so...
Can you... How would that work then? I mean, if you got 80,000 and I mean the perfect people for, you know, the J6 people, everybody has been that man. I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard anything put better the way he said it. Just wait. And like how he's not like a construction guy, you know, your tax dollars at work. Yeah. Where, meaning how can you translate what he can do? Like how and when? It's 80,000 people. So what would they do? Like when they would go after Roger Stone or something in the middle of the night, would they do stuff like that or just kind of pull somebody over like Trump would do and, you know, a van comes around the corner and gets a few of the people off the – they just kind of disappear, you know, back when they were doing the BLM riots and all that stuff?
Well, I think when Trump gets back in, the first thing he's going to do is pardon all the J6ers. The second thing I think he's going to do is go after all of these people he was talking about here. Mm-hmm. He's going to be going after that. But Trump's not the only one. There's a number of state governments in the red states that have already, you know, issued lawsuits and made, you know, filed criminal charges against these people. But up to now, you see, in fact, Merrick Garland, I think has, I'm not sure, but I think he has till Monday. I believe the deadline is Monday to turn over all of the redacted documents showing what we've been talking about, everything we've been telling you about how virtually that everything was set up. It was a scam. They broke the law. Merrick Garland ordered that. You know, when you order to go out and you weaponize people to come against the former president of the United States, but that's treason.
Did they find the, Crossfire Hurricane documents?
Yeah, Merrick Garland's got them, and he refuses to turn them over. You see, that's what this whole thing was about, was Trump. Declassified a number of these things that Obama was behind. The last thing he did when he left office, before he left office, well, he has those documents, see? He declassified them, and he had those documents, and they wanted to get them because, you know, this shows Obama's guilty. It brings back, it's got on all these people, Hillary, and they're all involved in this, and that's what they were after, the FBI, and this is what Comey was all about. And so, anyhow, he can bring them all down with that.
Do you think he copied them?
Pardon?
Do you think Trump copied them?
He has them. He has those documents. He had them, and that's what they were looking for. Now Merrick Garland's got them.
Well, that guy, he had a scared look on his face when it was on Rumble, but when he was being questioned, and it's just
He lied. He lied over and over again under oath.
These people couldn't be dog catcher. I mean, they couldn't even. They say, I mean, this is all in joking but serious. But Jethro Bodine on Beverly Hillbillies used to say, I got a sixth grade education. They say the average Americans have a sixth grade reading ability.
Yeah.
And it's when we look at everything now, that everything, there's so much going on. It's like it's like you're at the card tables and, you know, or the magic. You know, they're showing you stuff in front of you, but keeping your eye where it's supposed to be, where they want to keep you. But those classified hurricane documents, that's the whole show pretty much. Everything else, I know the Hunter's document, and they should hang him up.
Well, they've got Hunter, yeah. Hunter's lied to, they've got him red-handed now. And like I said, if they can get, when Trump gets said he's going to appoint a new attorney general, a legitimate attorney general, and they're going to go after him, I can see, remember what Clinton did. There's something like 1,900 attorney generals there at the Justice Department. Clinton fired every one of them but his own people in. And so I think that's what Trump is going to do. We got to move on, though. Okay, let's go out to San Diego. We have Dane. Dane, you're in the air.
Hi, it's Dane, San Diego. I'm calling about one thing. I've been getting a calling from the Lord to do my worst. Being a Christian, because we're accepted, right? Because we accept that. And when I witness the people and I give my blood, my soul, I get stabbed. And I don't know what to do.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Well, you know, I'm reaching out. I'm trying to be doing my worst and witness the words of the Lord, Jesus Christ, to the people. And they say that they're all into it. And they come back and stab me in the back. And they go back on their ways, doing their drugs and doing everything. I'm talking about homeless people in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, what do? Like, I want to help, but I'm getting stabbed in the back. What does this guy do? Right now, I feel like my heart says, help. But my soul says, you're on your own, dude. And then my question is going to be now, from here on out, when I talk to people out there, what did you do for Jesus Christ? And if they can't answer that question, I got to move on. And I don't know how much longer I have to dust my feet.
Okay, let me tell you this here. One. God's word does not return void. Now, not everyone's going to accept his word, and a lot of them are going to deny it. We know that. They're going to refuse God's word. But you have your marching orders, and that is to go out, preach, teach. He gives you three main missions there to do. Now, he never told you it was going to be easy. You saw, we just talked about how Noah preached repentance for 120 years, and he only had 7 converts, right?
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Again, the Lord never said it was going to be easy. All of us have that. We've all had our hearts broken from people that we spend a lot of time on, and especially those that were close to us, only to have them turn around and betray us. We all have stories of that, and so. But like you said, you're not alone. You have to give it to the Lord, and it's what he knows exactly what's going on. He looks upon your heart. So here's the thing. 366 times in the Bible it says, fear not, or be of good cheer. And so that's exactly what you need to do. I know, again, it's not easy, but it's a lot easier when you do have, if you can find one other person. And they're out there to be.
Yeah, they are.
Do you have is there a good Baptist church anywhere near you?
I'm not Baptist, I'm Orthodox, but I was raised Catholic. And right now I'm seeing, to me, what I'm seeing right now is that the church is nothing more than scribes and Pharisees. And they're not teaching what needs to be taught, which you're teaching. So maybe I need to find a new place to go.
Maybe it's what it sounds like to me. And if you can't, then yeah, you can get together with like-minded believers and start a church and call a preacher. and stay
strict about doing.
Yeah, we'll do strictly with the Word of God. Well, strictly with the Word of God, it tells you exactly, you know, what that.
I got you, Pastor. I totally got you. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to say this. It should be mandatory. Everybody should just, like, open the Bible. They just should read that first. And then if they can't do it, that's how I was taught. I was taught back when I was 5 years old. And I heard it. And I looked at it. I'm 62 years old. And I'm just, like, going, oh, my. This thing is telling us a lot. And people need to wake up and just open the book. And what I did was just open the book. If you had a problem during the day or the night, just open the book, and it's going to tell you what to do. And I appreciate your time, Pastor. I really do. And thanks for taking my pain, and we'll go on with that.
All righty. Thanks for calling. We'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
Who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants? Who don't care about the population? Who don't care if it's fouling our nest? When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on. Time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close a bad gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on the immigration in these great United States.
Alrighty, you know, we've been playing that song ever since Obama came into office. That's when we could see we were becoming a fascist nation with what was going on there. All righty. We're going to take, well, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let's go to Clifford in New York.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Psalm 59. But before I get to that, just two quick things from the Redacted News podcast from Monday I thought was interesting. One was there was a clip on that from a Spanish guy coming off the border and complaining that his UN card wasn't being updated with a $3,000 payment from the U.S., Now, according to him, he was getting funded by the UN, and he had a card. And then the U.S., once he got here, was supposed to be picking up right away the $3,000 payment. So that, you know, just one small little thing, but it might indicate that some of these people, such as in the case of places like Ireland, are already getting paid somehow by the UN. The other thing was Thomas Massey was interviewing three women from the CDC or questioning them, and he was saying he had the COVID, and then he was looking at the time for information on the shots, and the CDC had on their website that if you had the COVID and subsequently took the shots or the so-called vaccine, which it is not, there was a 92% chance that you would be reinfected, would not be reinfected with the COVID. And they just made that up. There was no data. It was completely made up. So they probably just went with the number 92 because it sounded good. So Massey had sent back emails saying you got to get this off, and they agreed to it, and they didn't do it. But they admitted that they just made it up. But I'd want to ask you about Psalm 59, which to me looks like David is just saying, just scatter them, which he does not say in Psalm 144. He says either get rid of them or scatter them. In Psalm 59, he's just talking about scattering the wicked only and what type of picture that would present. Am I seeing that correctly?
Yeah. Well, you know, here, that's a Psalm
59, yeah.
Yeah, the Psalm of David, when Saul had sent, and they watched the houses to kill them. That's what they were doing. The opposition had came. And now these people here, when he was talking about, slay them not, lest my people forget and scatter them by the power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. This is a deprecatory prayer. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying, which they speak. Richard, do you have a comment?
Yeah, he wants to spread them out. He doesn't want to annihilate them.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. That's what he's saying there.
Yeah, yeah. So, but he's not, he's giving two suggestions in Psalm 144. He's saying scatter them or get rid of them. He's also
letting them know. He's also asking them there in verse 15, let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. And so, in other words, he wants them to have a pretty nasty economy, you know, is what he's telling them.
Mm-hmm.
And at evening, let them return and let them make a noise like a dog and go around the city. You know, dogs whine and bark.
Mm. So that's just a picture of the scattering.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's because they went against God. 10 shows us, and God by mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies.
See, this is when Saul had sent people to kill David in his own home.
Mm-hmm.
And David was able to escape with the help of Mitchell, his wife. So,
yeah, I think the idea is, if you look at, I was looking at Psalm 83, and it talked about the, all these groups joining together in Psalm 83, and I guess there's a tendency for the wicked to find each other. In
yeah, they form a confederacy.
Yeah, yeah, and at the end of Psalm 83, like the that last word or two, it's talking about the Lord troubling them continuously as another imprecatory prayer, and I think that relates to Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 16, where he said, give them, he gave the Egyptian oppressors daily distresses. So he gave them everyday distresses. He didn't, you know, it was continuous everyday distresses.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be another imprecatory prayer.
Yeah, the Bible's filled with imprecatory prayers. There's a lot of them in here. Mm-hmm. All righty, well, thanks. I got to move on.
Yeah.
All righty, we have a... How much time do we have there? Alrighty. We have Pastor Hal. Hey, Pastor Hal.
How you doing?
We're doing okay. So
okay, can you hear me pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Did some people say you sound better than you look? I don't know.
Yeah.
That might apply to
the all of us here.
To all of us. And, at least we got that going for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyhow, you got about 10 minutes to give a really long invocation there, asking for an invitation. Telling folks how they can escape that burning lake of fire. You think you can do that?
I think so. You know, that guy that called in right before the song and everything that was going through all kinds of persecution because he was, you know, his heart was broke over the people he was trying to lead to the Lord, and they didn't want to listen and everything. That sounds like people in every generation that any soul winner is going to come against people like that. But here's the good news for that guy. The Bible says, blessed are you when you're reviled and persecuted for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. And the Lord sees everything that people say bad to the guy. And the guy has to realize it's not really him they're rejecting, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to answer that for, that for all eternity if they don't repent and get right before
that's,
it's too late.
That's exactly what the Lord said to Jeremiah the prophets, and it's not you they're rejecting me, okay?
And Samuel 4, he said that about Samuel, too, when they wanted the king.
Yeah, and so when he sent... when he sent Samuel out, he said, "It's not you; it's me that they're rejecting." And so, but you're right. He never told us it was going to be easy. We all know that. We've been, you know, all of us that have been around a while, and we've been witnessing the gospel out there to people. And you know, well, I mean, it's not easy. But the Lord never told us it would be, is it? Did he?
No. And on the other hand, the Bible says, what profits a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And that's what the woke the Democrat Party and all the people that are out there killing and stealing and trying to kill to get ahead, they're going to find out the hard way. If they could get the whole world, everything they want, the worldly pleasure and all the money in the world and everything, what good's it going to do them the first second, even the first you know, the minute they're in hell and they know they're not going to ever get away, you know, the devil's going to be screaming fool at them. And it's just, and I can't understand how they can't see that there's a payday someday coming. Like R.A. Torrey used to say, he had a sermon called Payday Someday. And, you know, it's so close to coming for the entire world. You know, Jesus is about to come back again. And people were dying every single day, even all the most wicked people. And you know, like one guy said, he'd never seen a U-Haul following a hearse to the grave, you know? And it's just, I just thank God that I have my treasure in heaven where neither moth can corrupt or thieves break through and steal, and nobody can steal my treasure from me, and I can't even lose it. If I went crazy and told God I didn't want to be saved anymore, God wouldn't listen to me, because, you know, once you're saved permanently, and even the devil, nobody can take away your salvation. And talking about that salvation, right now there's people on their road to hell listening to my voice right now. And you've been in churches that they told you, because you're a church member and you're trying to live a good life and everything, that, you know, you're probably going to go to heaven. Nobody can give you any guarantees, because the Bible doesn't tell you go to heaven by your works. It's when you come to God and say, I can't work my way to heaven, and I need the payment Jesus paid for me on that cross, because Jesus did all the work necessary in our place to get us to heaven. And when he died on that cross, he said, it is finished, which means all the work necessary for our salvation and redemption has been done by the Lord Jesus Christ and approved by God the Father. And all we have to do is come to God. Revelation, I believe it's 3:11, says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And if we don't repent, we're going to perish. We're going to die and go to hell. And all God's asking us to do is come to him and admit to him that we've sinned against him, that we're sinners and on our road to hell, and that God doesn't want us to go to hell, but he's made salvation a free gift. And when I was a Lutheran, I never dreamt that salvation was a free gift. I was told that you got to live a good life, and if your good works outbalance your bad, just like so many people out there now, whether they're Catholics or Presbyterians or Methodists, if you ask the average one that you talk to in those religions, they tell you you have to live a good life. They don't preach the gospel anymore. Most churches, you can't hear some people, even some Baptist churches, they haven't had anybody walk the aisle there in 30 years. And, you know, that's a sign of the Laodicean church, where we're in right now, where we've never been richer financially, but more cold and dead spiritually. Now, folks, if you want Jesus Christ to come into your heart, first of all, I'm going to tell you, he said that in Ephesians 2:8-9, like I said, it's a free gift. And John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, that's very, very exclusive, and that's very to the point. You can pray to Mary until you're blue in the face. You can pray to the saints and everything, and the saints, the Catholic Church made the saints. If they try to get to heaven the Catholic way, they never, trust me, they never became saints. But, you know, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a saint in God's eyes that very moment, and on your way to heaven. And now, if you want to go to heaven, Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So right now, God is asking you if you will receive the payment his son paid for you on that cross. And if you will, you can do it right now in a simple prayer of faith, because God's knocking at the door of your heart. He's not going to push his way in. He's asking you if you open up that door by praying and asking him to come in, being repentant about your sins. So what do you say we pray? God's ready to save you if you want to be saved. So let me lead you in a prayer and just mean it with all your heart. Dear Lord, I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. I confess unto you that I've sinned in thought, word, and deed. And I'm on my way to hell, and I don't want to go to hell. And Lord, I want to receive the payment you paid in my place on that cross. I want to get to heaven on your righteousness, not my unrighteousness. And so I hear now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul from hell, knowing you washed away my sins with your blood, like Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Please come into my heart right now and be my Savior, and give me that home in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you prayed that prayer, the Apostle John told people that received Jesus just like you just did. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. These things that you believe on, that meant you received as your Savior. It wasn't just head knowledge anymore. You actually asked him to come into your heart, that you may know, not think it, wish it, or hope for it, but know that you have eternal life. How can you know? Because I made you that promise, and God cannot lie. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, very, very good. I've never met anyone who ever, ever regretted receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. Have you, Richard?
No, actually, I've met a lot of people that wish they would have done it a lot earlier. And you know, I think that's the regret of every Christian is, why didn't we wake up earlier in our lives and not have to go through so much pain with all the sin that we caused upon ourselves?
You know, and again, people will say, well, how do you know this? How do you know what you're saying is true? Okay. If they don't understand, you know, there are people that think, well, if it never happened to them, it didn't happen to you either, okay? The Lord speaks to your heart, doesn't he?
That's right. You get that peace that passes all understanding. The Scripture tells us that. And that peace that you have, you trying to explain it to the world that doesn't understand this is almost impossible until they experience it.
That you know that you know that you know that you know, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me tell you this. I had some years ago, when I was young, received a serious back injury. Serious back injury. And I had surgery. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, at noon, I was in my room and awake. And my doctor was, the surgeon was, he was an atheist. And as I woke up, he was sitting there next to the bed in a wheelchair. And he said, look, he said, I had told you, because this was my second operation. I had injured once before, but this, he said, so I'm just going to, you got broad shoulders, so I'm just going to let you have it. He said, when you're able to stand, you need to get in this chair, because I got to just let you know you're going to be in this chair the rest of your life. Right then and there, okay, I had this voice within me saying, no, not at all. I mean, right then, and so, and I mean, I just absolutely, totally knew this. There was no doubt. And I told him, in fact, I kind of smiled a little bit, and I said, well, I'll tell you what. When you leave, take that with you, because I'm not going to need it. And he laughed at me. He says, really? What do you base your diagnosis on, doctor? And I said, the highest authority, the Lord told me.
Amen.
And he laughed at that. Guess what? The next day, that night, I got up and walked. And he could not believe it. He said that was, no one had ever, that surgery had ever done that before. He said, that's an amazing, he was just totally amazed. And I told him, you ought to listen to the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
All right, we're coming up where we come to this time every night. And we got Pastor Hal there. So what we're going to do is we're going to say, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for being here with us, all you folks. And we want to say God bless.
God bless.
God bless you all.
And then,
God bless.
Then we say, always, 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 ready?
Keep
fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.